my mother. I lost her about a year ago. And sometimes I wonder if I had time to grieve her.
You're listening to Humans of Politics, a podcast about how it feels to be a politician. My name is Aby Philbin-Bowman, and my guest today is the People Before Profit TD, Breege Smith.
But she was an amazing person, and she was very proud of her family and her background and her dad, who fought in 1916. Although she lost him when she was very young, she always, you know, spoke about him. And he also worked in the Abbey Theatre as a prompter. And the reason he ended up there was because he had been a shop steward in the lockout in Hammond Lane Foundry. And after the lockout was defeated, he was one of the victimised workers who never got a decent job again in the city. And the Abbey Theatre took him in as a prompter. He had a keen interest in Shakespeare and opera and all sorts of things. So he sounds like he was quite unusual, as Mammy was, that they were very cultured, you know, a big broad spectrum of interests in art and culture, and at the same time very ordinary and very political. So Bridie was like that, and she taught us all to be good trades unionists, not to be, you know, to stick together, to show solidarity, to never pass a picket, all that sort of stuff. So we learned loads from her and from Dan, indeed, who was quite a similar person. But if this conversation is about politicians and human beings, I think that that does affect you, but you don't sometimes have time to sit back and think about it.
You started this conversation by telling me that you haven't had time to grieve for your own mother. And I'm just struck by the fact that it's 11 o'clock at night, you've just finished a live radio show, and in the 2 minutes that it took you to walk from that studio into this one, your phone rang because somebody had a problem and they wanted your help. So how often does your phone ring?
It never stops. It never stops. Day and night, night and day, weekends, all the time. People want a piece of you. They want your help. They want your advice. They need to talk to you. And I have to say, though it may not appear it on the surface, that we might think we have a very progressive and developing and well looked after society with lots of, you know, good economic signs of growth and stuff like that. An awful lot of people out there in very bad trouble and are desperate for help. And if you're willing to help and to listen to them, then they do rely on you.
And of course, part of your job involves holding constituency clinics where anyone from your area who has a problem can turn up looking for your help. I'm just wondering, if you spend like 2 or 3 hours seeing person after person who hasn't got a place to live, can't get the right medical care, needs extra supports for their children, what emotional impact does that have on you?
Well, actually, the clinics are a part of the job that is, you know, I feel I'm in control of that, because I can, if I'm talking to somebody who's about to be made homeless, I can pick up the phone, talk to the local housing manager, if necessary, ring the agency in Parkgate Street, talk to them, give them a bit of support, and sometimes, you know, advise them to don't leave your home, don't agree to be evicted, you know, give them a bit of confidence to fight back and stand up for themselves. So that's the easier part. The harder part of this job is going into the Houses of Parliament and dealing with a lot of the insincere, tedious stuff that goes on in politics, because politics is a silly old game a lot of the time. That's, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. There's been films and famous television series is made about it, and you could do the same about Dáil Éireann and the Oireachtas in Kildare Street. And that can be quite frustrating and disempowering, very disempowering. Whereas when you're in a clinic talking to people who know you or live in your constituency and have heard of you, and you feel you can help them, albeit very little, at least you're there for them and you're consoling them, and they leave in a better state than they came in, and maybe with some possibilities of hope.
As you say that about the Oireachtas, I'm aware that you spent a lot of today in a cross-party committee on climate change, where the theory is that people from all political backgrounds and parties come together, you know, you try and find a common solution, a common set of proposals. How did that process make you feel?
Look, it's a really interesting topic, and it's probably one of the greatest challenges facing us. But as individuals, to try and absorb what this means and to try and get your head around it, both intellectually and scientifically and socially and every which way, it's a challenge. I honestly understand that. So I understand my colleagues from rural Ireland, they want to build big motorways through to the west of Ireland. They're living on the very stuff of the promise of these motorways. And when you talk about reinstating the Western corridors, introducing more trains, putting freight back onto railways, they think you're arcane. And they think it's also you're being a city slicker and you don't get rural Ireland. And, you know, trying to explain yourself is difficult. So it's quite frustrating, but it's an interesting and very far reaching challenge.
Are there politicians who you disagree with politically, but at a personal level, you admire them or you like them or you just think they have a lot of integrity?
Admire and integrity, no. But like and get on with, yeah, lots of them. They're all human beings, you know. But I don't know them all terribly well. But I'm good at getting on with people. I get on with people easily and I can crack jokes and be kind and nice to people and expect the same return. I do get the same return. And there's lots of them I like because I find them interesting. I'd have to think about the other question of integrity, but there's a lot of them I don't agree with.
I'm really interested in the question, why would anybody want this job of going into politics? I know lots of people out there would say, ah, look, they're just in it for the money. Lots of politicians that I speak to say, for the hours we work, we could probably get paid more somewhere else. We're actually here because we want to make a difference. As someone who's in the dole, how do you see it?
Even for the people who are in it for the wrong reasons, I don't think it's just about money. I think there are other things that people get into politics for. And some of it is notoriety. Some of it is wanting maybe to step onto something bigger. Some of it is ego. And some of it is wanting to be popular, you know. A lot of them that are in there for politics don't need the money, actually. There's a lot of them are barristers. A lot of them are doctors. A lot of them are landlords. They don't actually need the money. So the reasons they get into it has to be for other things in their lives, other things that it fulfills or challenges or things that they enjoy. But when you consider that most of them don't want to challenge the status quo, then that, for me, it's questionable. What are their motives? Why, if they're in there, why do they not want to challenge the inequality, the injustice, the homelessness? They will say they want to challenge all these things, but they don't fundamentally challenge the way the system works.
What do you think stopped the 25-year-old Breed Smith or the 35-year-old Breed Smith from running for the Dáil?
Well, at 25, at 35, and I think probably up till I was 45, I had no interest in running for elections. I really hadn't. And I didn't join a political party until I was about 35. And even then, it was for activism rather than for, you know, when I joined the Socialist Workers Party first, it wasn't even, they didn't even consider running in elections. It was much later that we started running in elections and started to run as part of a broader movement that wasn't necessarily a socialist one called People Before Profit Alliance. And that was when I started first contesting elections. So I was older, I was probably in my 40s. I'm 60 now and I got elected about three and a half years ago. So to the Dáil, but I was 7 years before that in the council. So I'm kind of used to it now. But initially when your face goes up on polls and your face goes into every door, it is quite hard to take. And people look at you and say, oh, did I see you up the poll? And, you know, it's hard to put yourself out there. Then there is the added burden of being working class and being a woman. It doesn't make it easy. First of all, you need to raise a lot of money. It doesn't come easy to you. And I think in the past, being a woman made it more difficult. But we've broken a lot of barriers, and we've blazed a trail in the last few years on women's rights and recognition for women in politics. So I think it's easier from that point of view. It's not simple. So, for example, the young woman who replaced me in Dublin City Council, she was co-opted onto the council when I got elected to the Dáil. A year later, she got pregnant. They still don't give councillors maternity leave in the payments that they make to them. And it's like they assume that those payments are just a little bit extra in your pocket. Hazel totally relied on those payments, as I did when I was a councillor. And when she got pregnant, she got, if she missed more than 80% of her meetings, which you do when you're coming up to labour and having a small baby in your home, she was penalised for that. And they still don't provide councillors with maternity leave. It's an unbelievable fact. And I felt really bad about that because Hazel, fair play to her, stepped up to the plate and took over where I left off in Dublin City Council. But to be penalised like that, it's shocking in the 21st century, really, you know. We need to do something about it. And there's a bill, I think one of the senators is putting in, but it has to be progressed to get the change.
And what do you think the general public don't understand about being a politician?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what it was like for me before I was one. I think they probably think that we have an easy life, that we swan in and out and we don't turn up for things and we just wander out and collect money and make appearances here and there. But I can guarantee I've never worked as hard in my life. I hardly get a minute any day and get very few weekends to myself. I know then we get these big long holiday breaks from Dáil Éireann, but that doesn't mean that you're not working, because you're using them to catch up in your constituency or to do other party work that needs to be done. And yeah, it's extremely, from my perspective, I find it extremely intensive and difficult.
And what does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day in the Dáil is up real early, walk the dog, get your breakfast into town, try and grab a coffee and meet your PA in advance of the day. There's always a meeting in the morning to sort out what are we doing. And from then on, it's running like a mad thing, from a committee to a press conference, back to a briefing, into the Dáil to take leaders' questions. You've got questions to the minister on this, that or the other. You're back into another committee. You have to meet some constituents or a group of school kids. There's a late night sitting on a bill. It's just mad. Like, and half the time you're forgetting, geez, did I do that? Or who's doing that for me? And because we're a smaller group, we have to cover so many briefs. I think the bigger parties have it easier because they would have one TD for every brief, one that looks after health, one that looks after education, one that looks after environment. But I cover many of those things because we've only a small grouping, you know.
And the final question, what motivates you? Why do you do it?
I believe in people. I actually love people. I find people really interesting. And I want to see a different kind of a world and a different kind of a planet. And I believe we're capable of it, and whatever I can do to strive towards that.
Breed Smith, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Humans of Politics. If anything really annoyed you or got you thinking, all feedback is very welcome. I'm on Twitter as AB Philbin Bowman, at ABIEPB. You can hear every episode of the show for free. It's on the RT radio player or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Humans of Politics. Finally, if you'd like more people to hear this conversation, the simplest and cheapest thing you could do would be to leave us a nice review on iTunes or Spotify. Thanks again for listening.